Hi, this is Allison Sheridan of the NoCillaCast podcast. Today is Monday, December 26th, 2005, and this is show number 23. Well, I hope wherever you are, you had a happy holiday and enjoyed some time with your family and friends, and everybody was safe near you. I had a great luxury of having my mother up for Christmas at my own house. I have never, ever had Christmas in my own house before, so that was a big luxury for us. And we had a real nice time, just kind of quiet, and really, really relaxing. Went to the beach with her and had a nice time. I really, really enjoyed it. And then the next day we jetted up to visit my husband's relatives, and we've been up there for a couple of days. And that's been a lot of fun. Had kind of a downer tonight, though. My car got hit, and it's a brand new car, so it was kind of sad. But the way I looked at it, the reason I got hit was because I stopped instead of hitting a pedestrian. So the good news is the pedestrian lived. The Acura is a little worse for the wear, but I don't have a problem with that. That's just stuff, right? So in the spirit of Christmas, I hope the guy who hit me doesn't feel too badly tonight. So anyway, let's see. On to business here. One thing I need to do is to remember every show to remind people that I have really, really detailed show notes at podfeet.com. So don't worry your pretty little head about trying to write down links or product names. I've had a bunch of people tell me they were surprised to find out they could just click over to the website and follow along if they wanted to. I don't promise they're free from typos, but Feeder does its best at spell checking for me. Time for a country update. I'd like to welcome our new listeners from the Slovak Republic, which is also known as Slovakia. Keep adding countries every day. I think we're up to, what is it? Let me check. I think it's up to about 44 now. Let's see, 43, 44, 45, 46 countries. So that just excites the heck out of me. I like having an international listening audience, you know. Not to downplay those from the United States. Love you guys, too. Let's see. I'd like to talk about some new TiVo online services you can sign up for. This is a little off the immediate computer thing, but it's cool because you have to sign up to be one of the early adopters. And, you know, if it's early adopter, might wreck stuff. That's just the thing for me. So the new TiVo online service offers photos, weather, traffic, movie tickets, live 365 music, podcasts, and a couple of games. This service is available only for TiVo Series 2 owners and doesn't work with the integrated TiVo DirecTV units. Let's talk about the Yahoo Photos that they show you. This allows you to view photos you've posted online with Yahoo at photos.yahoo.com. The interface online is easy to add photos, and once you've logged into your account once with your TiVo, you never have to type the username and password in again. They did a good job of pointing out that now whoever sits down at this TiVo will have full access to view your photos, and they even point out that if you sell your TiVo, you should contact TiVo to disable this feature. So I loaded a couple of photos up on Yahoo Photos and then was able to instantaneously see them on the TiVo. So that was kind of cute. Not terribly useful, but kind of cute. Yahoo Weather is the next piece, and it starts with weather at your home city, and that was kind of cool because TiVo knows who knows exactly where you live, right? Because it has to know your zip code in order to know what TV shows to send you on what channels and that sort of thing. So it already knows where you live, so it immediately shows you weather for the next 5 days for your home. But very easily, you can type in the name of another city, and it'll immediately tell you the weather for that. Now, I should say easily type it in. That's probably a little bit of an exaggeration. Typing in things on TiVo is very, very tedious. You have a screen that has all the letters and numbers, and then you have to use the arrow keys to move around within the lettering, and then push enter and move around and click another letter and enter. So it's actually pretty tedious, but you can get the job done. And then it allows you to save those cities that for which you'd like to view weather at a later date. So that was kind of cool. Yahoo Traffic surprisingly doesn't know where you live to start with, which I thought was funny since weather knew where you were, but traffic didn't know, so you had to type in a city no matter what. Once you've pulled the city, you can change the settings for your review. You can see how far around the chosen city you want to look for a minimum incident severity. And so it's kind of like how big of an accident do you want to look for? And I shouldn't say how big of an incident. For a given incident, how far away is it? 4, 10, or 40 miles? And then the report severity, which is from minor to moderate to major. So you can kind of tailor it to show you the kind of information you're interested in. Again, mildly useful, probably not any easier than doing it on the internet. One thing that was really cool, though, is browse and buy movie tickets. This is courtesy of Fandango, and it works very, very easily. I probably wouldn't buy tickets online using it, because you have to pay a premium for that. And I actually think Fandango doesn't work with the theaters near me. But the service is really, really nice on TiVo. I think I would use it above going to my computer. Because you go into this browse window where you have a bunch of different choices, one of which is to list now in theaters, opening this week, browse theaters, top box office, coming soon, and about Fandango. So I started with now in theaters, and it showed me a list of movies from which to choose. So I'm looking down, and I see King Kong. So you click on King Kong, and it takes you over to another window where it shows you just a little bit of information, so short snippet about it, and then you can request a couple of different things, one of which is to see the show credits, so you can see who's in the movie. And very, very easily, you tell it, I want to see where it's showing in theaters, and it'll immediately choose theaters near your house. Again, Fandango even knows where you live now. So it shows you the theaters near your house, shows you the show times for the today's date, and then you can switch it over to other dates if you like to. One of the coolest features that's not useful but still cool was one of the things you can choose from there is a slideshow of photos. And like for King Kong, they had maybe 10 or 20 slides, and they were nice, high-resolution, good-looking pictures on the TV. So I think it'd be fun to look at those after you saw the show and obviously to find out where the movies are showing. Really, really easy interface. That was pretty cool. If you're interested in top box office, you can start there, and it shows you the current box office money-making hits. And if you pick one like, what was it? It was The Goblet of Fire by Harry Potter. It was maybe the fourth or fifth showing up at some $6 million or something like that. But if you clicked on it, it would click over to another screen where it would show you how much money it had made overall. And of course, overall, it's made, I don't know, $250 million or something like that. So, and within that screen, then you could go on to see showtimes and stuff like that. So I guess if you're the kind of person who likes to pick your movies by how popular they are, you could do it that way too. But overall, I thought the browse and buy movie tickets section was the most useful part. Live 365 is an internet radio thing. I know I've seen it in iTunes before. If you look at the, I think there's a radio button or something like that. I can't remember exactly, but it allows you to pick a category of music. So you can pick jazz or, you know, Italian music or Latin music, whatever you want. And then there's stations within that that all broadcast. So that's kind of it's a streaming music sort of a thing. That's kind of cool. And let's see, finally, podcasting. It's kind of weird. They call it Podcaster. And it starts with a bunch of categories like public radio, news and talk, music, entertainment, and technology. However, within each of these categories, there are just a very, very few podcasts, maybe like 10 each. Heck, there's only 5 under technology. What's up with that? And Podfeet was not there, no Silicast, nothing. I don't know what's up with that. So clearly they're not using the better directories to pull this information. To find any other podcast, you have to go under the categories and into a section called URL, which where you can type in very laboriously the name of the podcast you're looking for. But you have to type in the location of the XML feed. So for me, it's like podfeet.com/nosillacast/rss.xml. Now, come on, how many of you guys actually know that? I mean, I had to go look it up. So that's a pretty tedious way to find them. You'd think that maybe there would be a search engine, or if it were using something like Podcast Alley or one of the other directories, you would think that would be a lot easier. Or podcast.net, that was my favorite. So anyway, after you type all those in, after you type in all that stuff, you can save them as favorites, which is kind of nice, so you only have to do it once. The one downside is that it's sort of like streaming the podcast, because if you leave one and then you come back, it starts all over at the beginning. So that doesn't sound so good. I guess the deal is that they're not saving it on your TiVo hard disk, which I guess is good, because you could fill it up pretty quick with a lot of big audio files. I don't know, not as big as video, though, I guess. The artwork does come up nicely, so you can see my silly little face on top of the screen if you choose to do this, along with the show notes that are included within the enclosure file, so you can just kind of tab down and see the show notes as they do. Finally, they threw in three games, which are kind of fun to play if you're really, really bored. One word of caution, this is an early adopter program to get into this, and the tools have crashed a couple of times, but it wasn't too catastrophic. A couple of times I got an error screen that said, can't run, and it hung for a little bit, and a couple of times it seemed to slow way down during the tedious typing process. Like, that wasn't annoying enough. I mean, like, you'd hit the button to go over three letters, and then it would just wait about maybe 5 or 10 seconds, and it would boop, 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 as it would move over to the next cell. So that was kind of annoying. But it went away, and then it worked after that. So again, if you don't like being the early adopter, I don't suggest that this is a great idea. But to get into this program now, you need to sign up for the priority list, which is available at research.tivo.com/online services. And in there, it also gives you guidance on whether your TiVo is available to receive this service. So they go through and they tell you about which kinds of TiVos, that it's only TiVo Series 2, and then they give you some numbers, some letter sequences in your it's not a serial number, but it's something like that. Anyway, they tell you whether you can do it. If you'd like to learn more about the service first, you can go to TiVo.com/4.9.11.asp to see the screens and descriptions. You know, I never know whether I should give you a long URL like that or whether I should say, hey, come on, go over to the show notes, podfeet.com, read it there. It's a lot easier to read it and click on the button, give you a nice little link. So let's see, new topic. You know how in Microsoft Office there's an autosave feature that automatically saves your documents by working? Everybody who's ever been saved by that feature, raise your hand. Raise your hand. No, come on, you in the back. Yep, yep, you've been saved. You come back up and there it is. Such a nice feature. Well, what if you could have that utility in all of your applications? If you like that idea, I might have the application you're looking for, but it is only for the Mac. It's called Save Me from goldfishsoft.com. And it's called, like I said, it's for Mac OS X only. And I think it's an Apple script because it's only about 750 kilobytes in size. And what's really cool, right on the front page of goldfishsoft.com, there's a link that says that it's already compatible with the Intel-based Macs. So I don't know if you're like me and you're waiting on the edge of your chair for those new Intel-based Macs, but if you are, this application's already ready for us. So you can set your preferences by application, which is really, really nice. So some applications, you might want to have it just autosave, you know, every 10 seconds, every 5 seconds, or not seconds, sorry, every 5 minutes or every 15 minutes, you know, you can change the time. But you can also change whether it automatically does a save or if it does a save as. Now, when I'm working in Photoshop Elements, a lot of times I'm working on an original file and I don't want to save over, or I'm really messing around with a Photoshop file that's got a bunch of different layers and I really want to do a save as out to a JPEG. Well, it allows you to set that differently by program. So in that program, I can set it as save as, but like when I'm working in Feeder, I want it to just save, because once I've given it a name, I'm just going to save and save and save as often as I can remember. But now I don't even have to remember. So that's pretty cool. You can set it to save automatically, or you can say, I want you to prompt me whether to save. Because there are things I work on where I don't really want to save yet, you know, because I've been doing a lot of messing around. Maybe I want to go back a little ways, like in Photoshop. So you can do that by application, and that really makes it handy. You can also tell it whether or not you want a noise to be made. So I was using Feeder, and at first I had it set to make a little noise, and you even get to pick the noise. So I'd make a little pop when it wanted to ask me if it's okay to save. How cool is that? So it installs very, very quickly. No reboot is required, and it puts a small command symbol in the menu bar that you can use to set those preferences. You can launch the preferences menu or the inspector with user assignable keystrokes like F keys, but you know, I think I would just use the menu bar item, because once you have it set up for a given application, you probably wouldn't want to mess with it all that often. The nice thing is it just kind of runs in the background for you, so you don't really have to worry about messing around with it that much. So I don't think I would probably memorize a keystroke to launch the preferences for it. I even like how the inspector does come up, though. When you click on the inspector, it kind of fades in very gently, very smooth, just kind of classy, kind of liked it. And it is a shareware application, but the way they do the shareware is just really, really nice. They let you use it for the first 30 saves, and it works just fine. So you get a feel for how it works, so you can use it over, you know, a couple of different applications, test it for a while, and after 30, it just stops saving. It says, okay, register now. It's only $20, and I think that's well worth it. I think this is a nice little feature that I'm going to like having around, so I'm gonna buy it for sure. It's non-intrusive, it's no hassle at all, but they get their money out of you, that's for sure. So that, if this sounds cool to you, check out Save Me at goldfishsoft.com. I want to tell you about Blip TV. It's a fun little service on, it's actually blip.tv, and it's a place where you can upload your videos for others to view. There's a nice, easy interface, lets you upload first the video, then a thumbnail picture, and then a short description, and some tags for searching. If you're familiar with Flickr for tagging photos, it's the same kind of service except for video. So I threw a few videos up there so you can see what it's like. Check those out at my I don't know what you call it, your space, or it's not my space, but you know what I mean. My place there is called nocilla.blip.tv. So check that out when you have absolutely nothing else to do. They're not interesting, but I like my little videos, so what the heck. So remember a few weeks ago I explained about how you can add an extension to Firefox so that it'll pretend to be Internet Explorer, because some websites refuse to even try to render for other browsers? Well, listener Rob, among others, brought to my attention that there is a way to turn on the same feature within Safari for OS X. There's a simple terminal command that you can enter that turns on what's called the debug menu. So it's the Safari debug menu. I've included the command in the show notes, along with the command to turn it off that I found at OS X Hints. It works. It's really long. You definitely don't want to hear this one over the audio, that's for sure. The debug menu has some useful options on it, so you may find it a very useful hack. It works a lot like the Firefox menu. Instead of calling it User Agent Switcher, it calls it User Agent. From there, you can pick Mozilla, three flavors of Netscape, Mac Internet Explorer, Windows Internet Explorer, or Conqueror. If anyone knows why you'd ever need to emulate any of those other browsers, drop me a line at allison@podfeed.com. Because the only reason I can think of to use this is to go over to pretend that you're Windows Internet Explorer to fake out the website. So why would I want to pretend to be Conqueror, pretend to be Netscape? It's not like you make the browser act different, but maybe some websites don't like other browsers. There's a ton of other things in the debug menu that I have no clue what they're for. There's like 15, 20 little picks, and so I'll have to spend some time reading if I'm going to give you any kind of informed response on the rest of it. Don't sit on the wet edge of your chair hoping I'm going to read up on it and actually do any research, because I might just get bored and not do it. So anyway, you can check it out in the show notes. I give the instructions on how to enable the Safari debug menu. Well, you're all going to be jealous here, but my boss got me a 60 gigabyte iPod with video. I don't know quite why, but he's been really encouraging me on my efforts to bring podcasting into our work environment. My vision is that truly passionate leaders who want their message to be heard by every employee without any kind of filters would find podcasts useful for getting their message out. This has nothing to do with what industry you're in. I think the best leaders that I've worked with do traveling roadshows to talk to as many people as they can to get their message with their particular enthusiasm out. I know with my organization, I really like to talk to the people directly. I don't want it filtered. I want people to hear me, what I'm talking about. So my boss wanted to make sure that if videos have a real place in this, that I'd have the right tools to work with. Isn't he wonderful? All right, enough bragging about my boss. I'm sure you hate him already. But I wanted to do a little bit of a review on the iPod video from my early impressions. First of all, I was shocked at how big it was. Now, this is the 60 gig iPod, and my iPod of choice is the Nano. I find the Nano so unintrusive that I carry it everywhere. I mean, I've got it in a little case now. I used to get not having a case, got all scratched up, so I learned my lesson. But I carry it with me everywhere in case I'm stuck in the line at the grocery store or Starbucks line is too long. I'll just throw on a podcast and away I go. And the battery lasts forever, and it's so tiny and light, it's just perfect to throw in the purse. Or in your pocket, gentlemen, sorry. The 60 gig iPod is really definitely a much bigger item to deal with. I would not throw this in my purse, that's for sure. It's pretty huge. The screen for video is extremely sharp and bright, even in bright sunlight. I was able to watch a show in the car on the way up on vacation, and it was really bright, even with the sun straight on it. I just tilted a little bit and got a good view. I showed it around the office to the under 30 crowd and asked them my very scientific, sample size here. It was probably 10 people. I asked them if they'd watch a feature-length film on it if they were stuck on a plane or in a car, and I got 100% votes of yes from my unscientifically small sample size. As with all iPods, the ease of use is the key feature. I plugged it into my PowerBook, and immediately it synced up my music, my podcasts, all of the photos in my iPhoto library, which was about 1,900 of them, and all of the videos it could understand on my hard disk. I've downloaded a couple of little movies from the iTunes Music Store, like Jerry's Game, the cartoon from Pixar, the animated feature film, and the Thriller music video by Michael Jackson. Those both came in beautifully to the iPod and looked fantastic on screen. I was surprised at how slow it was to kick into a movie, but I guess that's because it's a hard disk model and I'm used to flash memory access times. One major annoyance, really big, this is almost a stop work in my opinion, is that if you're partway through a video and you kick out and you go listen to some music or a podcast or something like that, it starts over at the beginning. And I can't imagine it why it doesn't go back to where you stopped like it does in audio files like podcasts. Total pain. I was watching This Week in Tech on my long car drive. I was about 3/4 of the way through an hour and 15-minute show, and I accidentally bumped the controls, and I had to start over. This wouldn't be so bad if there was a relatively fast fast-forward, but it isn't. It's really slow. It's like I held it down for, 20, 30 seconds, and it was 5 minutes in. I just finally gave up and never watched the rest of it. So I was pretty bummed about that. I don't know why they would have done that. Maybe they'll fix it in a update sometime soon. The other bummer of this thing is the battery life is pretty poor. I believe it's rated for about 2 hours while watching video, but I'm not even sure it would make it that long. After about 15 minutes of watching video, I've noticed the green indicator going down already. I've heard the battery is better on the 60 gig iPod, which is the one I have, so the 30 gig iPod must be pretty awful. So I'm not really a big believer in the value of video for podcasting. I think the audio by itself for most subjects is actually better than watching someone talk. Trust me, you don't want to be sitting watching me in this dark den recording. And the other thing is the bandwidth to download video is so much higher, I'm not sure it's worth it. I know there's a bunch of podcasters out there that are actually, in my opinion, I think they're worse because they have audio. Because my expectations are that video is just, I have an expectation that it's going to be better, that it's going to add value, and I keep watching for something interesting, and it's just two people talking to each other. So I don't think that's really that helpful. The other thing is, for me, at least, and maybe it's just my point of view, I have a lot of dead time where I can't watch anything, but I can listen. So I'm washing my car, I'm jogging on the beach, I'm working in the yard. I don't really work in the yard that much. I just made that one up. But all those times where I was devoid of entertainment before podcasting came along. So now I can slip my iPod Nano in my pocket, listen to a podcast, and the time just flies on by. In fact, I've found a few times, and I did actually work around the house, that I was in the middle of a podcast listening to Adam Curry, and it was so good, I just kept going. I was like, I finished washing my car, and I said, well, I need to clean this, and I need to clean that. And I ended up 3 hours later, literally, I'm not kidding, I had blisters on my knuckles from scrubbing the mildew off a wall because I was just all energized and having a good time. And none of that is something where I would sit and watch, just sit still. Maybe I'm not a good enough couch potato. I don't know. Got to keep moving. So overall, I would pick the Nano over the iPod with video for the smaller size and weight. But if you have a zillion songs, podcasts, pictures, video you want to have backed up, then I guess the video version might be better for you. But I think the video iPod is $300 and $400 for the 30 and 60 gig, whereas the iPod Nano is $200 and $250 for 2 gig and 4 gig. The 4 gig iPod Nano just really hits a sweet spot for me. All right, it's time for a weird and wacky offering here. This one is called vidstone.com. How would you like to have a video playing on your tombstone? There's a company called Vidstone that will do just that. It's called the Vidstone Serenity Panel, and it uses solar power and a weatherproof LCD panel. At the website at vidstone.com, it says the idea is that giving the family the option of viewing a personalized 5 to 10 minute video tribute right at their loved one's final resting place. You have to read Wired magazine to find out about great stuff like this. I'm telling you, I love what I read in that magazine. So I found a website where people were talking about what they would put on their video if they had a Vidstone. And one guy said he'd film himself inside a box yelling, "Let me out!" Now that's a guy with a sense of humor. I'd like to close today's show with a quick review of a utility for the Mac called TextPander. TextPander. This is a little Mac piece of software. It's a tool that allows you to create shortcut strings of characters in order to type in a lot of text. The idea is if you have a lot of phrases that you type all the time, that you're always putting in emails or something like that, like you're always saying the same set of words, you could type in just a couple of letters in any application, and TextPander will fill in the full text. You can create new text strings on the fly by using the icon in the menu bar that's always available. And you can just use it as a pull-down if you forget your abbreviations, which, of course, I'm losing my mind, and so I lose them all the time. You can change the font it's going to write in, but that's one thing I would change if I were up to them. If I were them, I kind of wish it would just match whatever font you were already working in. So it's a little bit kludgy how that piece works. But you can also have it insert images if you want, which is kind of interesting. Maybe you have an image of your signature. I'm not sure what you'd use it for, but that might work. I don't personally have a huge need for this tool, but it does work well, and I can see how handy it would be for those who write the same thing pretty often. I'm using it right now for my signature, where I just say, "Thanks, Allison," and that's kind of nice. Works pretty well. I'll probably keep using it. I think it's freeware. At least I can't find any place on the website where the author, Peter Maurer, asked for money. I double-checked on Version Tracker, and they think it's freeware too, so they must be right. The link to TextPander is in the show notes. It's really, really long and annoying, so I won't read it off to you here, so come on over and check it out. Well, this wraps up the NoSillaCast for this post-Christmas episode. I believe this will be the last episode for 2005. Again, stay healthy, don't drink and drive, take care of yourself, love your family and friends, and remember that feedback is always welcome at allison@podfeet.com, or you can post a comment at the website at podfeet.com. Thanks for listening, and stay subscribed.